We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the RotoWire hashtag After Dark Champions League show. My name is Jack Burkhart. You can find me on Twitter at Jack Burkhart, joined as usual by big Arsenal fan. He's excited for tomorrow, Ryan Belongi. And then apparently the world's biggest Arsenal fan right here. This is just brutal to see our friend Mo Hendy running it back wearing an Arsenal jersey. He's paying penance, I guess, for recommending that we fade the ridiculous 17-point floor from Lautaro. Oh, welcome back to the show, Mo. How are you doing today?
Well, like I was saying, I could definitely be better. All of my, big brain moves that you kind of see before you did not pan out. Oblak was fine, but as you can see, Royce failed to deliver on any of his tremendous promise at the start of the slate. And then the Hummels play, you know, in past games, you've seen him kind of put up a sneaky, 6-point floor. Maybe they're in contention for a clean sheet or something. That one also flopped as well. So, not my finest day, but I'm much more excited about the slate than the one that we just played.
Well, of course, you're a big Arsenal fan. For those listening on audio, I have cash game lineups up. So a lot of people, had a lot of overlapping core. We both played Griezmann, Bakayoko, Veerman, Çalhanoğlu, and DeMarco, and then a 3v3 at the end, which was a big mover. I mean, goalkeeper decides a lot of these things. With Julian Brandt out, Mo opted to take Marco Royce. Mo, you're telling me backstage you thought Royce had penalties and was just a good player, which should split some set pieces. So you end up with a similar construction that we discussed yesterday with Oblak and Hummels, punt defender and then play Oblak. I decided to do something else. I didn't care for Royce as much. I didn't need him in the forward spot necessarily. So I was looking at lineups where I spent down a little bit. I was intrigued by Sabitzer, but that didn't seem like the right play. I played one of these inter mids, Henrik Mkhitaryan. Frustrating, he come off early. I wish I found the $300 to play Nico Barea instead. And I also played Teze, which I wasn't happy about. I wish I played a similar lineup. I played Teze, Sommer, Mkhitaryan. I would have done a little bit better had I played Bastoni and Nico Barea. All in all, I think this was kind of the way to approach these things. Ryan, we were talking backstage. Should we have given more consideration to playing Lautaro at 9K? I mean, a 16-point floor is ridiculous, but I think maybe a 9-point floor would have been more predictable. And it was a tough spot for Griezmann, and he only had a 6-point floor. He felt kind of lucky to cash with him in my team. I don't know. What's your hindsight thought on this, Ryan?
I mean, yeah, my hindsight thought is for sure. Like, I'd play Lautaro over Griezmann in this slate 100 times out of 100 after watching the game. I mean, lucky that Lautaro didn't score. But, I mean, it's one of those things, another one of those things where it just, it feels like for cash games you should be clicking Griezmann just because of the set pieces, even though you know in your head that it's a better spot for Inter. Lautaro's much more likely to score, probably has a similar floor. You just you struggle to click it. At least I do. I don't know. Just another slate where I got it all wrong anyways. Made a late swap that was just completely wrong. Just mentally weak, as you like to say, Jack. Talked up Bakayoko yesterday. I had no intention of playing Royce. And then the slate comes out and I convince myself to take sets from Royce and possible pens, I guess. And then talked up Bastoni, didn't play him. Even mentioned Brella, didn't play him. So just, I don't know. Like, I guess I deserve my loss. Like, when I'm not running bad, I'm playing bad, getting roasted on Twitter, hemorrhaging my DK account. You know, we're down bad at the moment, Jack.
Yeah, I don't know, Ryan. Maybe you're going to have to do a fitness thing. We got a Twitter comment that Ryan calling Full Krug, you know, dusty and not so fast. You know, look, everyone listening to this show, we realize that we are nerds out of shape living in our mother's basements, all right? So everything's to be taken relative to that context. So
if I can say something in defense of Griezmann, because I really, you know, I'm probably a bigger fan of locking him in on just about every slate than most, but he came off in the 80th minute with an injury, and this game was pretty dead until that late goal. Hakan Kalhounoglu, who I think made most or at least many of the kind of cashing lineups, was on like 2.38 until right around the 82nd minute. And then it was kind of come to life, start putting in crosses, start putting in shots. So, you know, that like end of the game time period is make or break for a lot of these guys. And I don't know, you know, maybe Griezmann gets up to 12 in that kind of comeback fight, because they were attacking a lot more once they went down, and he ends up with a fine score that we, you know, just kind of say, yeah, it made sense. So all of this is to say I will absolutely donk play Griezmann the next time he's available once again.
I think that's a fair point. I mean, sometimes
fair points, yeah.
An NFL DFS analogy is players getting there in garbage time, which is often happens. I mean, I think generally speaking, more of the action in a soccer match, especially a two-leg tie, is going to be weighted towards the end. So I think that's a very fair point to make in context. Yeah, if Griezmann has five more floor points, we're kind of just like, well, you know, whatever. So those small things can really change our opinions. I don't know. Any last thoughts about the slates? Any tournament angles that didn't quite work out? It's a two-gamer, so, I mean, it's all 3v3s off this lineup. It makes a huge difference on where you are in the standing. Sometimes there's not too much to learn from these sort of situations, and there's just a lot of variance. But, Ryan, anything else?
Well, yeah, Inter is just kind of a nightmare to deal with. They were last year. It's going to keep being like that. Like, we thought Çalhanoğlu and DeMarco are just underpriced smash plays, and you know DeMarco had three and a half points before the clean sheet and got subbed. Hakan had 2.5 points in the 80th minute or whatever. Meanwhile, guys who you're not sure if they have floors, Taro puts up a 16.4, Barella over 12 floor points. I mean, you remember last year Inter got to the Champions League final. I'm pretty sure I got torched on the Lautaro slates because he was doing the same thing in these spots, scoring in the spot you're going to see next week. Or whenever, 2 weeks, whenever that is, Inter's going to be away defending a lead. No one's going to want to play Lautaro in that spot. But he'll be out there 90 minutes. Chances at the end when Madrid is pushing. It's the same thing. So I don't know. Try to remind myself of that when the time comes.
Note to future self. Yeah, Mo, any last thoughts?
If everyone wants to fade Griezmann on that slate, please go ahead. I will definitely be smashing him in. No, I mean, I think the interplays on this slate or the fades as well were all kind of things that, like, in hindsight seem really good. Like, DeMarco always carries this risk of the early sub after not doing much. Barella always kind of has that chance of just perfect game environment where everything's falling to him and he's like hitting shots and drawing fouls and so on. You know, just this on a slate with what we had a 1-1 game and then a 1-0 game, right? Like with few goals, little action, it's how it goes sometimes. So, you know, we press on.
Indeed, we press on. A great segue into our Wednesday slate. Just to check out the matchups, we have a flipped script. The favorites are away. this go around. So we have Arsenal, who are about 60% win probability away to Porto. Never an easy trip to Porto, but you really fancy Arsenal. They have the better talent. And I think Porto are also dealing with a few injuries, but we'll double check that. That game has a rather total, which is not surprising of away matches at Porto, but Arsenal pretty hefty favorites there. And then we have two fairly dysfunctional teams in Barcelona and Napoli facing each other. Barcelona are going to Napoli. Napoli are a pretty strong team at home, but Barcelona still get slight nod here. Mo, I wanted to bounce this to you because I think you know a little bit more about Napoli and Barcelona than I do. What do you think about the odds for that match, and what do you think about that matchup overall? I saw that Napoli are on their third coach. Piotr Zielinski's being phased out of the squad because he's going on a free transfer to Inter, so that opens some things up. And Barcelona, I mean, Xavi's leaving at the end of the season. They seem to have underwhelmed as well. Two sort of disappointing teams this season. So what's your read on this matchup, Mo?
Yeah, I think that take is spot on. I also see these as kind of two disorganized teams that are kind of still struggling with their identity. Barcelona less so, but kind of similar. I was reading up on kind of the ascension of Lamine Yamal and how like Rafinha is kind of being phased out of the squad as well, and that his role is becoming smaller and smaller. And like you said, Xavi is not going to be there moving forward. So yeah, it's kind of a big question mark on where those clubs are going. I think it'll be an interesting matchup. I think my big surprise point is, and you know, maybe this speaks to how little I know about how these goal projections are kind of drawn up. Arsenal are coming off a 6-0 and a 5-0. They are on fire. And their game is projected to hit just a 2.6. Candidly, I watched Porto the least of all four of these teams and generally don't watch much of them at all, but I just am a little surprised by that. I think there's maybe more goals in that game than the bookmakers are giving it credit for. So we'll see if I'm right, but that's what I'm thinking right now. Ryan, do you kind of have the same thoughts there, or you think it's spot on?
Well, Arsenal have been really tough to score against, especially recently, like just giving up very few good chances. So I think baked into those odds are like the good amount of times where Arsenal just wins this 1-0 or 2-0. So then that total would stay like that. But yeah, going to Portugal is always tough. And, you know, like, so you could see it going the other way. Arsenal have had patches this season where they've given up goals and had mistakes. So yeah, I can see it going that way, but yeah, Arsenal has just been really tough to play against recently, not giving up a lot of chances or floor points. And I think Arteta's goal would be to go there and win 1-0 and just be comfortable. Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of how I see it right now.
Ryan, do you see any risk here? So Arsenal, again, are on the road and there's no away goals rule. So maybe they're not going to, you know, completely go full throttle. They don't want to expose themselves on the counterattack. I think that's always something we have to consider on these two game Champions League slates. As we're going to see, many Arsenal players are quite cheap. We have 4.7K Declan Rice at midfield, for example, who's splitting set pieces. 9K Bukayo Saka, I think user Naholio in our Discord said he's going to be 130% owned at that price. He was 11.7K over the weekend. I think people are going to gravitate towards Arsenal, especially given the low total in the Napoli-Barcelona match. But, I mean, one big picture we want to think, is there matchup fragility here? And is there anything enticing on the other side? My first impression is not necessarily, because pricing is really soft. But I don't know. Should we think a little more cleverly than just stack Arsenal, maybe from a GPP point of view?
Yeah, so I actually am very interested in a lot of the other matchup, right? Like I do think that there is going to be a strong temptation to stack Arsenal, but there's a lot to look at in Napoli. Like you mentioned, Zielinski's absence is going to open up sets for some players that are already pretty good with their floor, but probably have an enhanced floor now. Lamine Yamal is checking in at, I think, a 6.4 price tag, which is, pretty silly value. or at least it's pretty good value. After my Lautaro prediction, I'm going to be a little bit more cautious with my firm predictions here.
Occupational hazard.
Yeah, I just think there's a lot of favorable pricing on both games that is going to be interesting to kind of pursue.
Yeah, I agree, especially with Yamal. He's too cheap. I mean, he's been playing 90 minutes. If he plays 90 minutes here, one of the best floors on the slate, point per dollar. The more I think about this slate, you think you just want to play Declan Rice because he's 4,700 and cheap and had that massive game, but the pricing's so soft that you don't like necessarily need him for salary relief. And Arsenal scored 5 goals last week, and he didn't take a corner, he didn't have a cross, and he scored 3 points in 80 minutes. And this is not as favorable a matchup as they just had either. Yeah, like Declan looks like you probably want to play him in cash games, but maybe not in tournaments. I don't know. Like, yeah, pricing soft enough where you might not need it.
Yeah, when pricing is this soft and you can afford just about anyone, there's big opportunity cost in not playing the other options that can potentially go off. But let's start digging into the lineup. So I'm trying to look for any news. This looks like the preferred Arsenal lineup. Porto are a team that's tough to project, but we're probably not going to be playing too many of their players anyways against Arsenal, but we'll see if there's any options we like. Barcelona, I think this is a lineup that they've been rolling out recently. Maybe they have like this new winger, Ritor, who might play up there. I read that on sportsmole.com, so a Ryan-approved source right there. So maybe there's some surprise, but I wouldn't really expect that. And I'm joking about that because Adam Zadroik makes fun of us for reading Sports Mole in preparation. And then we have the Napoli team. We'll see how they all line up. The news items, again, are Piotr Zielinski is not going to play. He's being phased out of the squad. And Victor Osimhen, he's coming back from AFCON where he played 7 matches. So even if he starts, he's a cheap 6,400. I wouldn't expect him to play 90 full minutes. Gentlemen, let's get into the forward position. Ryan, I think the best play is easily Bukayo Saka at 9K, who, even though he's 9K, feels like a free square on the slate given his elite role and performances lately. And Vitcha Kvaratskhelia, KK, he's been taking several set pieces lately with Zielinski's absence. Those two feel like the easiest clicks at the forward position. Do you think there's a little more depth to it, though, Ryan?
There might be, but they feel like the easiest clicks to me, too. Especially if KK has sets for sure. Like I could see, I'm not sure that's going to be the Napoli lineup, the one that we have there. I think you might get 4 at the back. I've seen Mario Rui in a couple projected lineups and Politano in those same lineups, both who take set pieces and would split at least with Kvaratskhelia. But, I still think he's a good cash play. You know, he's got a floor besides set pieces, and he's almost for sure going to play 90. He's been playing 90. That's what I had. Just like Saka's too cheap. Obviously that's a no brainer. You can go down and play, you might be playing Yamal anyways, but you know, you can make the argument that for 2K cheaper, Yamal's a better play than KK.
I guess that construction would be if you want to play 3 midfielders, because I don't think defender's particularly strong, and you can play Yamal in a utility spot. Mo, what do you think about the forward position? I mean, we're talking about, you know, KK, Yamal, and Saka being the clear chalk.
Yeah, so my feelings on KK are going to be heavily dictated by the lineup, kind of like Ryan said. You know, the current projection has 3 midfielders who, in my book, and it's not a very sophisticated take, just kind of do very similar things. And so there isn't that kind of attacking player that you would presumably want in this kind of matchup. So I'm skeptical. I think that there's a decent chance Politano makes the cut. And if he does, he's definitely eating into the sets, definitely eating into the upside of KK. I also, I think both KK and Saka are midfield eligible. Yamal is not. So that's going to be kind of a consideration where the forward kind of positions are very favorable on this slate. I think your point about Osimhen was accurate. My understanding from reading the news was that he has been getting like rested for his conditioning, like for an extended period of time. Like he was given this weekend's match off as well. So I still think he gets subbed early, but at 6.3, he is like you can see right there, high goal scoring odds, very tempting against a Barcelona team that has defended very poorly recently. And then lastly, I think it's worth giving a shout out to the Porto attackers, because I'm just going to say FC because I'm never going to get that last name's pronunciation right. But FC has been playing regularly up front for Porto. He has sets. He is coming in at 4.6. So I don't know if he's taken one of your forward slots, but he certainly is someone I might be interested in for utility. You don't need the salary relief, but there is some appeal there.
Yeah, Mo was referring to, I'm known for getting these names wrong, so I'll fall in the grade. Francisco Conceição. I've learned to give those C's the S pronunciation there. Yeah, he does profile as a pretty nice play, Mo. I mean, he's pretty cheap. His role hasn't quite been priced in. I think he takes some set pieces. And Ryan, I think we talked about him on the After Dark show in the group stages and a couple favorable matchups when he was in projected 11s. You also have the coach's son narrative with Conceição. So if you're into narrative-based projections, there you go. Ryan, go ahead.
That's definitely going to be something to watch. He's been taking like all their sets when he's been on the pitch. But you know, you see lineups where he's not in the projected and Taremi's in there. Mm-hmm. So then figure out who's going to take Porto sets. But assuming he does start, he's the same price as Declan. Who do you think has the higher floor there? I mean, you certainly don't need to play both of them, and positional eligibility doesn't really matter on this slate in a lot of cases. So I thought that's interesting that they're the same price. Honestly, it's tough to like, unless you like, it's tough to, for me, it's tough to click Declan over like a guy that's going to have all the sets and better open or, you know, yeah, better open play upside. But obviously Declan plays for the much better team, who's likely to have more set pieces and more possession. It's a tough one.
I think it's a little bit tricky. I think Mo made a really good point that you can use the midfield eligibility on some of the forwards. That opens up, you can play just about any forward you want. Mo, I was going to ask you, where would you stand? Would you prefer to play Conceição, or would you be a quote-unquote Declan Rice donk?
Yeah, Declan donk. When I played Declan at, I think it was like one, like 2 weeks, I don't know who they're playing, but they won 6-0. And he had the goal, two assists, sets, like, you know, I just felt like the sharpest tool in the shed. You know, I just had a great weekend. It all looked beautiful. And then I was like, they didn't price them up. I'm definitely running this back. And then like Ryan said, I got 3 points from him, and it was not as rosy of an outcome. So, having watched that game, there's a lot of offensive play where Declan is just in protection mode, just kind of making sure the ball keeps moving without actually contributing much to the play. So I don't know. In tournaments, there's a good chance that I'm either passing on both or going with Conceição.
I think those are all fair points. I want to shout out two names that I'm interested in tournaments that are forward eligible, or at least that should be interesting. The first, we have a Stajoto in the chat. Soft pricing for everyone except for Martinelli. Gabriel Martinelli has not been that good for DFS lately, but at 8,300, it feels like that's going to be an Arsenal player who maybe people are going to be a little more hesitant to click, so maybe we'll get some depressed ownership. And Ryan, I'm not sure how many people will click 7,100 Kai Havertz, but the way I see Kai Havertz, he's sort of this luxury midfield attacker. And in a game where I might project Arsenal to have a little bit more possession. He seems at least interesting, someone who can supply a goal or assist. In lineups where I speculate there aren't many goals, I think Havertz is someone who might make a difference. Not like a huge core play or anything like that, but as a tournament option, call me intrigued. Ryan, you're one of the biggest Kai Havertz stands out there. What do you think?
He's starting to come good. I think that. So who's going to be the lowest owned of the six Arsenal midfield / forward players? You know, you got Odegaard, Declan, Martinelli, Saka, Havertz, Trossard. Anything off the top of your head?
I think it necessarily matters,
but lower owned than Havertz even? I don't know.
I think so. Do people just reflexively click him because of last year? You know, he was always splitting sets, so people were happy with him. It's tough to say.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think
people are happier clicking Martinelli where the prices are now that Kai's bumped up. But anyways, back to your question. Yeah, and if that's the lineup, the same lineup that it was over the weekend, I think Havertz is a great tournament play, especially in what you said at the end, lineups where there might not be that many goals. But just specifically in this lineup for Arsenal, Havertz, like, you think he's playing midfield, but he's still like de facto center forward. I mean, he's getting up there all the time. I mean, Arsenal don't have any size besides Havertz. So he plays that role. They look for him on crosses. He's always making runs. Like, I actually think, you know, you could, he's almost the second most likely. I mean, there might not be one, but there's a second most likely player to score from open play might be Havertz.
Mo, who do you like?
And I think that's a hot take. Like, I don't think a lot of people think that.
Yeah.
Who do I like where?
Do you have any forward? What do you think about Kai Havertz, Martinelli, any other forwards that might be off the radar that, well, it's a 2-game slate, so no one's off the radar, but any forwards sparking joy for you?
So, and this might kind of half answering your question or not. The main thing that would keep me from going to Havertz is that ridiculous Odegaard price, which, you know, like 6.6 for a guy who's just, like, absolutely on fire this weekend. Just like you know, I mean, I like Odegaard in just about any matchup, but especially in one where you kind of need to unlock, and you know he's just going to be constantly probing and trying to link up with the various attackers. I'm very high on Odegaard, and that might be the only thing that keeps me from going for Havertz, unless I obviously decide to just stack Arsenal, which would go along with my jersey. But you know, I think that that's going to be kind of my consideration, where the salary is tight and I have to figure out which Arsenal pieces I want.
Fair points all around. And you mentioned Odegaard at the ridiculous price of 6,600. I was almost going to say he took a penalty last week, but he rug pulled me. He was holding on to the penalty for like the longest possible time, so much that NBC showed his penalty placement.
They did.
I personally, as a salty Spurs fan, I think Martin Odegaard is awesome. He seems like a great dude, and he's an awesome player. Great club captain for them, and I hate it. But why don't we get into the midfield position? We were talking a little bit about
Sorry, Jack. Just nobody mentioned, you know, a forward that maybe is nobody going to play Lewandowski?
Holy smokes, we did not mention Robert Lewandowski.
I mean, he's 9,600. You know, he's a guy that used to always get ownership and obviously still will on a 2-game slate, but I feel like it's going to be less and less.
On my little notepad here, you can't see it, but the very first line says Lewa pass. Like, it just says pass on it. So yeah, that's like my feelings on it. You know, this is not your.
Everyone's going to think that, though. Everyone's going to think that.
The one thing that could see me there, and I think I've actually got him in a couple of lineups, is just the very soft pricing, making it so you have kind of the same Lautaro situation that you had yesterday, where it's like, oh, I've got a lot of cash left over. I like my play so far. Why not jam and see how it goes?
Yeah, you could play him and Saka, and then just use Declan or Conceição.
Yeah.
Jack, back to midfield.
Yeah, I mean, I read a blurb on Lewandowski. He didn't score in the Champions League group stage, which is shocking. I don't know if he's been – again, I don't follow Barcelona as much. Just doesn't – he's getting a little bit older. Barcelona aren't as dominant as a team, and he's just not as dominant as a player. So it feels a little bit expensive, but maybe for the points that you all make, you can pay him, and, you know, he can score a brace anytime. He's one of the most likely goal scorers. So we should put some respect in Lewandowski's name. I'm sorry for not mentioning you. You know, we were talking about Kai Havertz much longer than – Louis, imagine saying that.
It's really that much different than like the Luke de Jong play today, and he got the pen, and Lewandowski has pens, and there's a lot of pens in Champs League. I didn't even think that was a pen today, actually. Maybe I didn't see, like, I don't know. Maybe it was questionable, I thought.
He had a brace this weekend too, Lewandowski did.
Anyway.
Yeah. I don't know what to say. So all I know is that when I was talking to Shu Premakai, I'm like, you know, I'm glad I didn't play Luke de Jong. He seems like a bit of a Eredivisie bully. And then he got a penalty like 5 minutes later. So maybe I should just put these vibes out.
You can't.
So let's go into midfield. If you're kind of just playing cash with heuristics like set pieces, I think given the pricing, it's easy to click on Ilkay Gundogan, who's 8,100, and then you can just combine him with someone like Declan Rice or Conceição. That's just if you're just going to click on the set pieces. But when everyone is so cheap, Ilkay Gundogan is quite expensive. So, Mo, you look a little bit skeptical. Would you even fade someone like Gundogan in cash games to afford you know, a little bit more firepower in all other spots? Do you think he's a good play in this spot?
I would absolutely fade Gundo. For one, he isn't a pure sets taker here. He probably has priority over Yamal, but Yamal took two on the weekend. He's been taken more and more consistently. I think that the way Xavi does his teams is that whoever is playing in that other forward role, whether it's Yamal, Rafinha, Felix, gets a certain portion of the sets. So there's that. Gundo is going to play a little deep. He's not, you know, your marauding attacking midfielder anymore. He's older. They're playing away. There's just so much that counts against him here that, no, I haven't really drawn the line in my mind between cash and GPP. He's almost definitely not making it in GPP. I think there's a good chance he doesn't make it in cash either. Is that too strong, Ryan? Do you think that I'm kind of being too flat on it, or you kind of have a more nuanced view to it?
Can we pull up his game logs, Jack?
I'm on it.
They look pretty good to me. I mean, there's a lot of massive scores recently. 3 goals, 3 assists. Lots of corners. I mean,
yeah,
it feels like a tough fade for cash, to be honest, if he's going to play 90 minutes. I just feel like Barca are, you know, the slightly better team here. And he'll have the majority of sets. You know, Rafinha would take some, and Yamal might take one or two. Both those guys take some left-footed sets, but – you know, in principle, I agree. Like, and I may fade him in GPPs too, but I don't know. To me, he seems like a pretty safe 10 points in cash games, obviously, with assist upside. I mean, he's still scoring some goals, obviously.
Yeah.
Four goals I see in like the last 10 games. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Tough fade in cash, I think.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can ask Bear in Discord. I know he's a big Barcelona fan.
What one do you thing think, Jack?
Yeah. Well, I was just about to say, one thing in defense of the Gundogan play, I have a dummy lineup where I can play Saka and KK. I can play Odegaard or Lamine Yamal. And then I can still comfortably fit like Gundogan and Rice. You know, we can substitute Conceição at about the same range. I can still spend up a goalkeeper. And there's not going to be many people to play at defender. And I still have Cancelo in my dummy lineup. I feel pretty good about it. So I think just strictly speaking from a cash point of view, I share everyone's apprehension about Gundogan. I agree with a lot of what Mo said, but I just don't know where I'm going to spend the money elsewhere. I'll have $2,000 to spend at second defender that I don't really want to spend up at second defender, or I can't really spend up at second defender. So with those things in mind, I think Gundogan will make cash lineups, but if you want to fade in GPP,
yeah,
then you can do the move where you move Saka to a midfield spot and then jam some more forwards. I think that's the type of construction you're looking at.
Yeah, I have that same lineup, Jack, and you, everything you said is true. You're looking at a decision of Odegaard versus Yamal, basically. I guess you could play both and not play Gundogan, but it doesn't really, you know, it gets you one more defender. I don't know. We'll talk about defenders in a second, but yeah, pricing is so soft. That's why it's kind of annoying, because normally, like, I feel like Mo feels about the Gundogan types, or even Gundogan specifically. I mean, I didn't expect to see such a robust game log when I checked, but yeah, like, pricing so soft that it's almost like, just give me the 10 points.
Yeah. And as I'm kind of looking at it, if this is the projected midfield that plays, I mean, Frankie and Christensen, like, those are two pretty defensive players.
That's a good point. He'd be the most attacking. That's actually like the most favorable midfield maybe for Gundo to play in.
Yeah. Yeah. Pedri tends to drop a little bit as well. So, you know what? Yep. Maybe I have to recant my previous testimony and just, you know, accept that the lineup plus the lack of other options does make him favorable.
Wow, flip-flopping. You perjured yourself, Mo. This is brutal.
I'm just trying to avoid that, you know, like, Lautaro call again, you know? So, like, I don't want this to be my calling card, you know?
There's no avoiding bad calls, Mo. They happen, you know? We talk about process and logical things. Like, I make terrible calls all the time, but people somehow still listen to Ryan and I. Probably because of Ryan, truthfully.
Oh, man. I've made a lot lately, too. But anyways, you'll be important to watch that formation, because you might get where Pedri starts instead of Christensen and Roque is in there, that new 18-year-old they have. And then I think it'd be like you said, Mo, where that wouldn't be as great for Gundo.
I agree with that.
I just realized I called him Ritor. I put the R in place of the V in his first name. So yeah, Vitor Roque, the new signing. But see if he starts. He has yet to start.
Just like Goose Tillman today for PSV.
You know, sometimes you just combine two players into a really nice forward eligible play. I felt there's a lot of soccer players out there in the universe. So, you know, if you get a little mixed up every now and then, I think it's okay. One name we haven't mentioned is Leandro Trossard, who I think is priced in the mid-7,500. I somehow was the only person to land on him in cash games over the weekend, just because I was spending in the midfield range. I faded Saka. And I'm wondering what we think about Trossard. He's midfield only, so you have to use him in a spot right there. He's playing as this sort of false nine role. He's not a very big guy whatsoever, and he's not really active in the floor. I feel like it might have even been a mistake to play Trossard over the weekend, and I got a little bit lucky that he got the goal. I don't know, Ryan, what do you think about playing short number nine, false nines that are not really going to get crosses, and it's tough to feed him the ball, right? And if they're not going to be getting much breaks on the counter, doesn't feel like the best spot for Trossard, but is that a little too pessimistic?
I think it's a little too pessimistic. Just because he's so good, honestly. Honestly, Trossard is underrated and can score all types of goals. He's in great form. 3 goals, 4 goals in his last 5. Almost a couple other really nice goals, too. He hit the post on one and the crossbar on the other, and all within the last month. But, no, Jack, like, if we're talking about, like, you know, playing Havertz or playing Martinelli, it's all the same thing. All of them are the same likely to score a goal. Martinelli, Trossard, Havertz, honestly, they all have the same chance to score with the way Arsenal play. So, yeah, I could see Trossard maybe getting a bit overlooked on this slate. So, for tournaments, definitely in consideration.
Mo, any final thoughts on midfield?
Yeah, I think just to add to Trossard, I was kind of doing a kind of a deeper dive. It looks like in his last 4 starts, he's had 5 shots in each of them, except I think this weekend where he had 3. And so you know the shot volume is there. And as we saw with Lautaro yesterday or today, that counts for something meaningful. He's scored in his last four starts at forward, so it works out for him. So there's a lot of upside, right? And I actually think that the upside might be higher in some respects than someone like Havertz. You know, I am a self-professed Havertz hater. I think his goal this weekend was a garbage goal. And I think, you know, there's a reason he was 3K to 4K for like 10 weeks in a row at the start of the season. You know, it's just
that goal was, that was Maradona-esque.
What was it, the 5-0 or the 4-0? I mean, scoring gets easy at that point, you know. But with Trossard, you're always going to have to worry about the minutes, because they're always going to be pretty consistently at that kind of late 60s to late 70s mark. And he no longer has the sets, right? So those are the risks, but I think the upside is there. And if you find yourself in kind of a pro Arsenal or Arsenal stack type setup, I would definitely look at him.
All right. Lovely stuff. Wheels up for Trossard again. I always seem to land on that guy, but it seems to have been working out lately.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Let's pivot to the defender position. So there's really no one worth playing on. There's really no one worth paying up for, and there's no one to pay up for, really. So I should be clear, because the most expensive projected starter is João Cancelo at 4,500. Quite easily the most frustrating DFS play that could possibly exist. But again, at least he is only 4,500. We also have Gio Di Lorenzo. Depending on the lineup, he might be playing in a slightly more attacking wingback role. He's always a decent play, and Ryan and I have played Di Lorenzo for around 6K in group stages before. So both kind of shockingly cheap prices for these fullbacks. Mo, if you could only choose one, would you choose Cancelo or Di Lorenzo?
Oh, that one's tough. I'm just a sucker for Cancelo at this price. I just have seen on Interleague that he's usually in the 6K range. Cancelo always carries that very frustrating risk where he just does nothing inexplicably, even though his entire calling card as a player is to be like a winger at fullback. But yeah, 4,500, it's just really tempting. On the flip side, with Di Lorenzo, I believe he's suspended in the league this coming weekend. So you almost guarantee that he's going 90. If the formation looks anything like what it looks like right now, he's going to be very advanced, providing a lot of the offense. And he's a guy who just always seems to get there. I mean, I think I've played him in the past at 6K and gotten the 12 points out of him and been very pleased. So, I generally think the upside is higher with Cancelo. We all probably remember that slate where he scored 35 points in the group stage, and that was that if you had him. And so I'm definitely more tempted. Probably will avoid this headache by just playing both.
Ryan? What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah, I think I agree. Frustrating, but probably the best play based on everything that, that Mo said. I'm just remembering how Mo beat me in that five man a week ago by fading Cancelo on the interleague slate where I played him. But you got an early assist and still didn't matter. Anyway, yeah, I think Mario Rui might start though. So, like, you know, you have any opinion there? The same price as Di Lorenzo. I'm just looking and I see Rui takes corners every time he starts. I see him with 23 floor points a few games back against Monza. But, you know, a 9-cross game in there. I might still rank Cancelo as the best, but I think I'd probably put Rui ahead of Di Lorenzo.
Yeah, the weird thing with Rui is he just has, like, I think a couple games this season where I just fully thought the smash was on, and then it was, like, 55-minute sub and, you know, 2-3 crosses. So that, I think that would be the concern. But, you know, in terms of his upside, I mean, it's definitely there.
It's just – yeah, it's not – and it's just – it's not going to – I don't have high hopes for really any of these guys, and it's not going to shock me if any of them bust. So, like, yeah, I don't know. I think it's a tough call, but you might not need that many points. No.
Ryan, is this another, or maybe I should ask Jack, since he was the one who I feel was affected by it more negatively. Is this another Kivior assist off a throw in slate?
I want to say something. I do not think that, like, shots assisted or assists should be given from throw-ins. Like, in what universe are we living in where it, like, I just don't agree with this whatsoever. This just seems offensive, right? Like, I don't know, am I wrong? Like, throw-in assist that from Kiwior, it's ridiculous. And this is how the Sockadongs got bailed out. They weren't even guaranteed to win with their brace in cash games. They needed to cling on to ridiculous performances by Ben Davies and Kiwior. Frustrating.
Yeah, I hear you, Jack, but yeah, I don't know. What about, like, the assists? Yeah, I don't know. You know, sometimes the center back or defensive midfielder just passes it 1 yard to somebody else and they fire in a 40-yard rocket. It's kind of the same thing.
No justice, I guess, but at least they use their foot. So they'll get credit for that. It was like the
same. What about long throws too?
Yeah, long throws. I mean, that's some people's bread and butter. Are you going to
remember Stoke way back? Yeah, Rory DeLapp.
Yeah.
I mean,
his entire career is based on that.
Well, no disrespect to Rory DeLapp. I think it's awesome. I think it's a great tactic. I do not think that Opta should credit assists or shots assisted for this nonsense. But, you know, maybe I'll just
stop. By the way, even without the Kiwior assist, I still would have beat you in cash last week.
You calculated this?
No, but I at the time, like, because just in case you were going to say something, I just had it lined up that it still wouldn't have mattered.
You need to send me your show sheets ahead of time so I don't want to terrible
Minute 47, bash Jack over Kivior smash.
This is ridiculous. This is more humiliating than when you beat me the one time you played Liga MX and you conceded. You did the dark arts. I shouldn't disrespect the cash game king, though. Anyway, let's get back into Defender. I do agree it's kind of a tricky matter, but right now I have Cancelo in, and I think you're just going to want to mix people around. As Mo said, you can play both. In most constructions, you can play both. I guess in mine, I'm just spending up for keeper right now, but I could easily make a switch right there. Looking down at cheaper options, everyone on Arsenal is underpriced. Ben White is 3,600. We've seen him have a couple random ceiling games. He's priced like a center back, but plays as a right back. Kiwior, the king of throw-in assists at 3,300. And then you have Gabriel and Saliba. Maybe they both score goals just like that showdown slate 2 weeks ago. If you can't pay up for two decent fullbacks, I mean, just play an Arsenal center back. Is it that simple?
I mean, one thing I got, I remember a while, like a couple months ago on this pod, we had a conversation about Arsenal center backs and scoring goals and talked about how Gabriel's got goals in him and that they were coming. And now he has 3 goals since then in like his last 10 games. He's great in the air and he's the cheapest of all the Arsenal guys. So yeah, why not? They have the best clean sheet odds. I think it's fine to play him, especially there's just not that much opportunity cost. I mean, there is the other side of that where the guys we just mentioned are so cheap and on good days, maybe they have 10 point floors. So like you could look at this like, man, like why wouldn't you just play the best 2 fullbacks? They're only mid 4Ks, but you know, there's some risk to those guys too. And of course the Arsenal guys have better clean sheet odds. So it is a tough call because I like the Arsenal guys, but I like, you know, how cheap the fullbacks are. So now it's just annoying about this slate, the soft pricing. Same with yesterday's slate, but this one too, because we should have harder decisions. Like you should have a harder decision on Gundogan and some of these other defenders, but we just don't.
Yep.
What do you think, Mo, about the cheaper options?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's just so darn cheap. I saw Wendell down there at 2.8, and I was like, oh, that looks pretty. But, you know, again, when the prime plays, if you will, at fullback are comparatively pretty cheap, it's like, well, do I really need to go down at 2.8 Wendell? What's that going to get me, 9.6 Lewandowski? Well, now I'm just kind of taking a whole bunch of risks that may not be necessary. But you know what? Maybe we'll come back tomorrow and that'll be the winning combination right there. I'm in the same boat as Ryan. I think when the high upside plays don't really cost you much, I think that ultimately I'll probably not get too fancy there and get fancy elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I had more to say about defender, but I think it's as interesting as there's some decent fullbacks who are too cheap and some decent center backs who are too cheap, and good luck finding the right combination. So we can pivot into goalkeeper then. It's a 2-game slate, so the heuristic is, you know, goalkeeper can make a little bit more of a difference on a 2-game slate, and there's going to be more concentrated ownership. We have, it's pretty similar odds to what Jan Sommer had to keep a clean sheet and win. And it's about the same pricing for David Raya. But Ryan, what are you having any original thoughts about goalkeeper? Right now I have Raya in, but with these types of win odds, I'd be content playing a Porto goalkeeper. At the same time, Arsenal are the away team. So I feel like the away goalkeepers are a little bit better because the home team is going to take a little bit more initiative. Anyway, that's a lot of talking. Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with what you said. I mean, like, I like Raya, and the fact that he's away gives him a little more upside, probably. I just think he's easy to afford, so why not play him? You know, in tournaments, I'll play the other guys too, but I feel like if you can get to Raya, just why not play him? I mean, unless it's a specific strategy and you're playing for Porto to score, which I can get behind as well. I'll do that as well, and not play Raya in those lineups, but I don't know, my first instinct in like cash or if I was playing like high stakes stuff would be to just play Raya.
Yeah, I'd say I'm in the same boat. I really enjoy playing Ter Stegen in Interleague, and I think for the last 2 times that I've played him, he's just absolutely flopped. The upside is there, but, you know, the downside is as well. I think in that week that I beat you, Ryan, with the Sanson midfield play, I think we both played Ter Stegen and just took a -4, I think, each of us. So, the worst case scenario is there, and their defense has not looked good. I think that Diogo Costa could be a sneaky play. But Arsenal have this habit of just being very clinical of late. It's not a kind of a City or Liverpool type technique where you are conceding, you know, 3 or 4, but saving 6 or 8 in the process. And so, you know, the risk is there as well. So ultimately, pricing is soft. Raya looks good. That's where I'm probably going.
Yeah, remember James Trafford's -5.5 points when Arsenal absolutely dunked on Burnley with a great deal of efficiency. Sedota says Alex Meritlock. It's going to be a tight matchup, and he's at home against Barcelona. That seems winnable. I think Merit is a good play, especially if you're going to be fading Barcelona pieces. I guess what are my GigaBrain thoughts on goalkeeper that no one asked for? I think Arsenal defenders, because they are the punt option, that's going to be popular, and maybe rules-oriented players. You know, when it's so cheap to play an Arsenal center back, it's even easier to click on Raya. So Jan Sommer came in around 45-50% in most formats today. And I would expect Raya to actually come in higher just due to that natural correlation. I think it's fine in tournaments to consider other pieces. Maybe people are frustrated with Ter Stegen, who has only kept 3 clean sheets in the last 20 matches. That's a pretty outrageous stat. The Barcelona defense has not been particularly good lately. It just opens up a Merit option just because he's not there. But Mo, I share your apprehension about the Porto goalkeeper, especially if Arsenal aren't going to try to windmill dunk on this stage. They still get to play at home in the next one. So that should mitigate Diogo Costa's save upside somewhat. Did I miss anything with goalkeeper?
I don't think so. I like Merit. I like Merit too. I like Merit with, I would play Barca players with Merit too, though, I think.
Yeah, I'd like certainly run couple, it by Cancelo and probably a few others.
Set piece guy, either Yamal or Gundo. I think if Napoli did keep the clean sheet, unless it was 0-0, if they were like up at half, I think they'd have to withstand quite a bit from Barca in the second half.
Yeah, that's my thinking. Well, Spagetto just coming in with all the fun takes. So we actually didn't spend any time on the 2-time slate breaker, Galeno, which is he's just so random. Like even though he's broken the slate twice, I still didn't give him like a second's thought. I have his name written down, so I gave him a second, but not much more than that. He also likely has a share of sets. He also is a good attacker, links up well with these guys. If Arsenal don't show up, he could do some things. One of the other guys that we actually didn't mention at all, but I think I wanted to sneak in here. If by some strange reason Napoli show up with this lineup, I think Anguissa could put up a Barella-type performance. Somebody's got to get forward from that midfield, and there's a good chance it would be Anguissa. He kind of generally plays more of a box-to-box midfielder, doesn't attack as much as Barella, but there's been plenty of games this season where he's gotten his floor up there. So at 3.9, not a bad look if you want to get a little different.
Not a bad shout, Mo. Ryan, you have any other GigaBrain thoughts you want to get off your head for those listening at the 56-minute mark?
No, I don't think so. Good shout about Anguissa. I've been a fan of his since the Fulham days. I see, yeah, he's averaging well over a shot per game over the last 2 seasons. And yeah, he shows up in the box all the time.
I'm going to shout out a good play here. Plays center back for Portos, 40 years old, Portuguese legend, Pepe. I don't know. I'm still upset about it. I'm still upset about losing to a Pepe goal in the 95th minute. But if anyone wants to challenge me with Pepe, I'll try to claw it back. One penny at a time. Anyways, thank you all for listening. Mo, you've been a terrific guest. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone in the chat. It really helps these videos if you give us a thumbs up and a like. You can comment on our podcast feed. That always helps. Say nice things about us, especially. Maybe you can be a little bit rude to Adam or something like that. But be nice to Ryan. And don't be rude to Adam. Adam's the best. And what else? I mean, good luck tomorrow, everyone. I'm going to be hunting down a King of the Pitch ticket. Again, please submit those blank lineups. Every little bit you do helps this humble mathematician. And I guess we'll see you over the weekend with Premier League action. But adios, everybody. Thanks for joining.
Thanks, guys. Good luck, everybody.
Good luck, y'all.